Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Yes, in a better place. I think taking the time to really get to know the guys in a locker room and understand the maturity level there. But at the same time, you know, we also want to be careful because we're still young and impressionable. So I think making sure that we continue to bring, you know, a good core group in is important. You know, I think maybe down the road where, you know, you want to take a risk like that, I think the locker room begins to run itself, so you can take some chances. Right now, we need both. I mean, we need talent. But at the same time, I'm still going to be a little bit cautious of, you know, bringing in the wrong type of person.
Welcome back. It's Mullin Haas, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mark Grody in for Mike Mulligan today. That was Ryan Poles on Monday at the owners' meeting in Arizona. Every general manager, every head coach, Matt Eberflus will speak today. And every executive, I think George McCaskey speaks today as well. Kevin Warren talked on Monday. That was a very interesting comment that Ryan Poles said, I think, in terms of using the word cautious in his answer about how the Bears draft now that they're at number 9, how that might differ in their philosophy now that they're not number 1 overall. They are not on the clock yet. On the clock tonight is also...
Right. 6-7 tonight.
Thank you, Bet Rivers. Going to be on the clock. Mark Grody, 6-7, talking draft and everything else Bears. But Mark, I think that it's a point that shouldn't be forgotten when evaluating what the Bears are going to do as we continue to count down the draft now, less than a month away. A month from this morning, we will be breaking down the Bears' draft, their first pick in the first round. Do you think that that was intentional? Do you think that he was saying and choosing his words carefully for a purpose? Because the dilemma potentially could be, the choice could be, safe pick, offensive tackle, one of three choices that we can discuss, or Jalen Carter, a guy who would be the number one player on many people's boards but comes with a lot of baggage.
Or will they take best player available? And that, and I, the way Brad Biggs was talking yesterday, they're going full need. That every answer that Brad gave us was they got to go offensive line or defensive line. His pick was Broderick Jones, the offensive line, the tackle out of Georgia. But I keep thinking about these cornerbacks because if you're going best available player,
yeah,
it's probably one of those cornerbacks. And Devin, you mentioned Devin Witherspoon earlier, who we will talk about tonight on the clock at 6 o'clock. Christian Gonzalez of Oregon and Joey Porter of Penn State. Now, I tend to agree with Brad that I don't know if they're going to do it, but I think the better thing to do would be to look at it and say need on the offensive line and defensive line, especially since you didn't take care of any of that in free agency. And I like what they did with Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards and Dylan Cole, for that matter, another one of the Bears linebackers. That's solidified. That's great. But there's so much need on both the lines that it's hard to be tempted by best player
available. Am I wrong to think that I would feel okay if they did defy logic a little bit and go after a cornerback, and I'd feel better about that than I would if it were a wide receiver? I would, by the way.
Oh, but because
Would, because I don't think it would be as much of a reach in the top 10 to go after a cornerback, where at the premium position, you can find guys there, especially in this draft. You could justify picking Witherspoon rather than making a reach for a wide receiver who I don't think the top one may not go before the first 20 picks.
Hey, man, when Ryan Poles was asked about like what positions, like this was before the draft, before they had the number one pick, any of that stuff, that he said that you have to look at every position and take the best player that is absolutely available. And he said that cornerback was one of those premium positions. I mean, he mentioned the obvious, the edge, but cornerback was something they said a while back. And I get it. It's a Jalen Johnson is a made man as a cornerback. Kyler Gordon is not. Kendall Vildor is not at this point. So you still could say, I mean, you could really lock up the cornerbacks and essentially even the secondary for that matter. If Brisker continues to develop and Eddie Jackson continues to be steady, like it's a really good thing.
I had forgotten Kendall Vildor was on the roster until you just mentioned it. I just forgotten that.
He's rank and file. I mean, he's whatever.
Rank and file.
He's a rank and file player. He was fine. He had a good start to the season last year. Tailed off. Well, he's injured towards the end of the season. But yeah, that upgrades can still be had there. And I think that would be. That'd be interesting, but on the overall, I'm still team Biggs on that one.
Okay.
Offensive line or defensive line.
The other thing
line.
I want your opinion on as a Bears savant is that we talked about it earlier, and we referenced Ryan Poles explaining why he made the trade when he made it with the Panthers. And he made the comment of that he was evaluating and comparing and contrasting Justin Fields at this stage of his career, entering his third season, with the four likely first-round draft pick quarterbacks. And he says they evaluated them before the combine. The combine basically confirmed what they already thought. And it, quote, always starts with the tape. Always starts with the tape, which suggests that Justin Fields on tape was projected to be a better NFL quarterback, or they convinced them more thoroughly than anything they saw from Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, etc., Anthony Richardson, Will Levis, of course, to a lesser degree. But what did you make of that? Because I thought, as I said earlier, that was a more practical response to where you are as a franchise. And if you wanted to go to make a profound statement, you would think that, well, you know, you draft the guy who has a higher ceiling. I don't know if you can make the argument right now that Justin Fields' ceiling is higher than Bryce Young's. You might get an argument on that in some NFL scouts, right?
Probably.
But are you? Do you think Ryan Poles is saying that when he's committing to Justin Fields?
I think that Ryan Poles was honest before the combine and saying you have to really blow me away. I don't think Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud blew him away. I think, you know, Anthony Richardson, Will Levis did not blow him away. And I think it was I think he knew that that was probably going to happen, but he needed to confirm it to do his Jerry Angelo due diligence. And he did, and he decided that while Justin Fields still has a ways to go in the passing game, that he is a better prospect still than C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young, the two top quarterbacks. At least that's what they're considered at this point.
I'm not there yet.
There with what?
I don't know that I feel comfortable committing to that idea that Justin Fields is going to be a better NFL quarterback than either of those two guys.
Interesting.
I don't
Would you
know.
Have liked them to keep that first pick? And,
No. That's what I'm saying is that I understand. Look, you know me, Mark Grody. I try to be a practical thinker.
Yeah.
When you're talking about these decisions, and I think practically speaking, the Bears did what they had to do. They didn't have any other choice if you wanted to be smart about building a roster. Justin Fields is your guy. He has special talents. Would you like him to be a more polished passer? Would you like him to do this or that? Yeah, maybe. But he also has a special quality that maybe you don't value as highly as some other people do, but he's a great runner.
It's pretty funny that
you got to lean into that.
Yeah, we can call somebody spectacular and underrated in the same sentence. Or not underrated, not underachieving, I should say.
Well,
not
maybe,
underrated.
Yeah, I know.
Right? I mean, he has not figured out the passing game, but he's been straight up superstar like as far as the run game. But you look at him, he's an incomplete.
You can't ignore it.
You can't ignore it.
And you can't deny it.
He's not ignoring it.
And I don't think you can neglect it if you're the Bears in building your team. So what you want to do is you want to build around it. You want to get the most out of it. And these are the circumstances that you have as the general manager of the Bears. So while it's still too early for me to conclude Justin Fields is going to be a better NFL quarterback than either Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud.
Or Anthony Richardson.
Or Anthony Richardson.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah.
See, that's true.
Yeah, because he's the guy. He was the guy. Like I said this when I was at the combine on one of the shows. May have been on your show. That when Ryan Poles is talking about like a quarterback blowing him away, I thought the only guy that had potential to do that was Anthony Richardson, and he did blow guys away at the combine, but still not enough. Still not enough. And I don't know how Poles felt about him, but he was the type of guy that could have been like, I got to have that. And he didn't.
Big Z has on his mock draft, as we saw yesterday, ChicagoTribune.com, the Colts moving up to 3 to take Anthony Richardson because he projects Chris Ballard being blown away by his talent and his potential. So what I said is not disparaging Justin Fields at all. I would love to be in that position if I'm Ryan Poles, if I'm Matt Eberflus, to be able to lean into somebody who has a special innate quality and a talent like his. It's just a different way to build a football team.
Yeah.
But you've got to take the gimme. And right now, you've got a quarterback on a rookie contract. Figure it out. Don't start over. You don't waste the progress that he already has made in 2 seasons.
Give him as much help as you possibly can. And they're on their way. And that's why I said earlier, like the DJ Moore thing was where the trade stopped for Ryan Poles. That's where he said, you know what? I might get as good of a deal, maybe even the slightly better deal from somebody else, but I can't pass up giving my guy Justin Fields DJ Moore. Texter says, but how do we have faith in what Poles sees? He threw away pick 32 on Claypool. The Claypool thing is to be determined.
To be determined.
Still. Yeah, he gets a full training camp. He gets this year, and if he's no good like last year, then he gets bounced.
I think you have to be patient. You have the luxury of having that patience because you don't have a team that's in a win now mode. I think what Ryan Poles was trying to do was get ahead of the curve on the free agent market because there weren't any wide receivers.
It's logical. It's a logical move.
Yeah, it's a practical move.
Yeah.
And I don't want to criticize practical moves in the name of making progress because I think that is how you rebuild a roster that was very bare when you got here.
You're not going to get everything right either. It's just like we've seen rebuilds in this town, not necessarily football, but baseball. And you look at some of the bombs like Edwin Jackson and guys like that you had to have on your team early on to fill the necessary spots and all that. But something along the way to hopefully a winning Bears team, there's going to be some strikeouts.
So back to the draft talk, because I think everything revolves and starts with a quarterback. You want to give him as much around him and many reasons to succeed. The support is needed. Receivers, they're getting them. They got it in the trade. DJ Moore is a big reason for the trade. Offensive linemen, you talked about the need. There are 3 tackles, Broderick Jones, Paris Johnson Jr., and Peter Skoronski, that I think, depending on who you talk to, they all could be possibilities at the number 9 spot. I think last week on the On the Clock show, which again, tonight, 6 o'clock, you talked to Garrett Hodge, who covers Ohio State, the Ohio State University.
Yeah, he was at the pro day.
And he gave us a pretty good overview. I want to get your thoughts on Paris Johnson specifically. And this is what Garrett Hodge had to say about the Ohio State offensive tackle.
Well, starting with the pro day, I think he had an incredible performance. I think he did himself a lot of favors in the eyes of NFL scouts. Specifically with the footwork drills, I know there's been a lot of clips around on social media that when you look at them, you're like, is this an offensive tackle or is this a linebacker doing footwork right now? And it just was pretty captivating that a guy at 6'6", 310 pounds could move that fast. But this is a guy that no matter where you put him on the offensive line, he's going to thrive. First year he played at Ohio State, last year he started at right guard. This year he moved back to his primary position at left tackle. And I believe I think Pro Football Focus had a stat in 925 pass blocking opportunities. He has allowed 1 quarterback hit his entire college career. And this is a guy that has a mean streak, just really gets after defensive end, defensive tackles, whatever you ask him to do, and is really a down-to-earth, humble guy off the field. You know, does a lot of charitable work.
That's Garrett Hodge talking about Paris Johnson Jr. And I said this last week, Mark, when we heard about Paris Johnson and after his pro day, we saw the Bears were there. I was a prisoner of the moment, and I did not want parole because I really believe that could be a guy you pick at 9, you plug, you play. he's solid. He's played right guard, so he can line up on that side of the ball if necessary, maybe right tackle. He's a proven left tackle at a high level. I would be fine with them. And still, a week later, I suppose, I guess I'm still imprisoned by that moment. I'm okay with them if they went Paris Johnson Jr. I know Bigsy had Broderick Jones mock draft, and Peter Skoronski has a lot of local support. But what did you hear about Paris Johnson Jr. that either made you pro or con that direction?
There's only one thing I didn't like about it. Like, all the other stuff is good. Like, one QB hit his entire college career. Footwork like a linebacker at 6'6", 310 is great. I just wish he would have played 2 years at left tackle. And I understand there's probably somebody in front of him that did his first year, and that's why he played right guard. But I know you look at it as, and maybe other people do, is like, oh, he's versatile. No, I want to see him get as many snaps at left tackles. That's the only thing I look at. I say, does he have enough experience to plug and play at the NFL level, despite all the great, you know, the size and the footwork and the ability to keep his quarterback clean?
We're going to talk to Patrick Finley from the Sun-Times, who was there in Arizona on Monday talking to Ryan Poles, talking to Kevin Warren. But I also think the Poles comment about right now to improve our team, I think we've got to look to the draft, tells me and underscores what we're talking about. He's thinking about addressing the need in the draft. The best way to do that is to use your highest draft pick on a need position. So even though best player available, you have a surplus of guys, meaning, you know, is three a surplus? I think it counts. What's the definition of surplus? More than two?
Three. I just looked it up. Yeah.
Three.
I just looked it up. Yep.
That tells me they're leaning in that direction.
Yeah. So and they're in a position where they can't, like, and I don't think, like, I'm not pinning Ryan Poles this. I don't think Ryan Poles ever said anything, and maybe I missed it. He's talked a decent amount. I don't think he's ever said anything about best player available with number nine. I don't think he has said that. So I'm not holding him to anything like that. I think they are stuck going need at this point because they didn't take all of their needs, take care of all their needs in free agency. Yeah.
Before we get to a phone call, what did you think about him telling the story about getting a hold of Justin Fields, texting him to let him know about the trade, and Justin Fields taking a nap?
It sounds right, actually. Knowing Justin Fields a little bit, as I do, getting to do the interview with him after the game, like, that sounds about right. Like, he's just kind of, he does his own thing. His demeanor is always what it is, and sometimes that's frustrating, trust me. But that sounds right. It does sound
Justin,
right.
No, Justin, you're not dreaming. We actually did get you a number one wide receiver.
Oh, cool, man. Sounds great. Looking forward to it.
The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Daryl is in Virginia. Daryl, welcome to Mullen Haw.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Great conversation.
Yeah, it is.
On our superstar. You mentioned superstar ability, and we didn't see that Justin Fields' first year.
Nope.
And that's kind of odd, don't you think?
No.
To have that kind of talent running the ball, and they didn't utilize it at all.
Right.
And so that's why I think Bears fans, including myself, are so excited to get this quarterback to develop into, you know, maybe second down every now and then. But it reminds me of what Darius Slay said when we played Philadelphia. And he didn't know what was going on. He just heard the crowd roar. And that was our quarterback scampering for maybe 30, 40 yards. And so defenses had to adjust for the first time, I think, in Bears history to our quarterback. And so you put a tackle like Broderick Jones, Paris Johnson around him. And, and if the defense, you remember that stretch, they were scoring almost 30 points a game. Well, we couldn't stop anyone. Thank God we didn't stop anyone because we got the first round pick. But we could have won some of those games, you know, with a quarterback still developing. And so the excitement is real. I know we don't need to have him running all over the place, but my gosh, we've got a weapon.
Thanks, Daryl.
Fair point.
They do have a weapon.
Yeah, I mean, he's right. Like, Bears were scoring the hell out of the ball.
Surround him.
Like, it's so easy to forget about what a lot of this offseason needs to be about, too, and that is to fix a historically bad defense.
Oh, yeah, by the way. Yeah.
And by the way.
That'll temper your enthusiasm.
That's a good reminder. Yeah. And, you know, Tremaine Edmonds, T.J. Edwards, good start. Andrew Billings, that's okay. But there's still a long way to go.
Yeah, how about DeMarcus Walker?
I do like DeMarcus Walker.
He had a breakout
year. I'm sorry I didn't think about it. Yeah, 7 sacks? No, no.
You got to worry about these guys who have breakout
years.
I'm
going to tell you something right now. This is me to you and to everybody.
Tell me, Grody.
DeMarcus Walker is he's an interesting guy.
You just like the quotes.
I'm just saying that.
Show
me
on the tape.
I know. It's peripheral. I'm saying it right before break because it's a blow-off thing. It's the FWIW. For whatever it's worth, DeMarcus Walker is going to be a fascinating interview throughout the year.
FWIW, are you talking
for what it's
acronyms
worth.
Now?
Yeah, that's the way I talk.
All Bears guys do that?
Yeah, LOL.
Well, we'll find out if Patrick Finley does. He's out in Arizona. He's covering the owners' meetings. He worked for the Sun-Times, and he joins us next. It's Molly and Haas, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The score.
Bears.
No, there's something to it for me. I think when you have pride of your local team that you grew up watching, you knew what, you know, this club meant to the city, and you saw some good times and some good players. I think you were a little bit more motivated to perform at a high level and also lead, because you've seen guys do it at a high level before you. So I always like that aspect. I think it just means a little bit more.
Welcome back. It's Mully and Haas, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mark Grody in for Mully today. That was Ryan Poles talking at the NFL's owners' meetings in Arizona, which brings us back to our guest hotline presented by Circa Resort Casino in Las Vegas. Circa Resort Casino, home of the world's largest sports book, where we find Patrick Finley, who covers the Bears for the Sun-Times out in Arizona. Patrick, thank you for getting up this morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about you guys?
We're doing well. So we heard from Ryan Poles on a variety of things. Just curious, you wrote in the Sun-Times today, nice story on him informing Justin Fields about the trade and some of the background there. What was your biggest takeaway in talking to Ryan Poles on Monday?
My biggest takeaway is that they're probably done in free agency, you know, in terms of signing anybody too incredibly relevant. You ask him about the tackles that are still available on the market, and he essentially said that they're there for a reason, and that if they're going to get better, they're going to get better through the draft. So, you know, that's not the greatest news for Justin Fields. We've seen the Bears' ability to pass block for him. And, you know, they're going to end up with a tackle, you know, at some point in the first, second, or third round. That said, he's really confident in DJ Moore. He thinks Chase Claypool can get better. There's really nowhere to go but up there. And with a Darnell Mooney healthy again, he thinks that he's lined Justin Fields up with some weapons that he didn't have last year. And that's important because, you know, we were worried a year ago that, hey, how can you evaluate this quarterback if he's got no one to throw to? Now he's got people to throw to.
Everybody's freaking out last year, too, as long as we're on last year. In the draft, when the second round and third round and fourth round went by and the Bears had not taken an offensive lineman, and then they took several after in the fifth and after the fifth round. And what I'm trying to figure out is, and maybe you can answer this question because you just talked to Ryan Poles, he hasn't said anything about best player available right now, has he? Because I feel like he's stuck with need at this point. I don't think he has the luxury of that. Am I right?
Yeah, and he talked about need a little bit yesterday. And you know what? Like, that's what everybody does. You know, they sit there and they say best player available. Right. Then they draft the guy they need anyway. Yeah. So you might as well just come out and say it. You know, he made no bones about the fact that they need help on the offensive line, particularly at tackle. They need help on the defensive line, both in end and tackle, and that there are going to be guys available, particularly with those first four picks, that are probably going to start in week one, just because the Bears roster isn't as robust as maybe they would have hoped. You know, he negotiated a little bit with Mike McGlinchey. He talked to Draymond Jones with the Seahawks, a couple other D linemen. But, you know, those prices were pretty exorbitant, guys. And, you know, I think we all saw how much they got, and that just wasn't, you know, the kind of depth that Ryan Poles wanted to swim in here coming off of a 3-14 season.
So, Patrick, also you were able to talk to Kevin Warren, from what I understand, the new Bears president and CEO, who takes over officially April 17th. according to what he had to say. Was he asked about anything else of significance beyond the Arlington Heights timetable?
No, you know, a lot of, you know, just kind of what's going to happen when you get there. He said this in the press conference, and he reiterated it yesterday, that he's going to talk to every single Bears employee, and he wants to get it done before training camp. So we're looking at, you know, 5 interviews a day for 4 months, something like that. And then he's going to take all that information, distill it, and really start implementing what he wants to do. I have a sense that he knows what he wants to do, but that he thinks as a leader, he wants to hear everybody out first. And, you know, he mentioned this. Sometimes, you know, the employees tell you stuff that you just weren't aware of, big or small. I think there was an instance in Minnesota where somebody in the ticket office said, you know, the machine I have that folds papers hasn't been working well for 5 years. I can't do my job as well. And the next morning, Kevin Warren had a new paper folder waiting on her desk. Some little things like that, I think, are good for morale and good for just trying to make the trains run on time inside the building. Big picture stuff, I think he's going to hold off on that until he's talked to everybody and, you know, has a sense of exactly what's going on inside the building.
I just learned just now that there's paper folders. So there's machines that fold papers? Should I know that?
Apparently, yeah.
Okay.
I'm not sure I knew that either. Okay. Before I heard that story the other day.
Okay, all right. What did Kevin Warren say about the stadium situation?
He doesn't want people to get too excited that this thing is going to get done right away. You know, it's going to take months and years. It's funny, when you haven't started your job yet, it's really easy on some of these issues to sit there and be like, hey, man, I haven't started yet. We'll get to that when I show up on April 17th. But he's aware that there are people in Arlington Heights who have issues with traffic, who have issues with property taxes. And what he said yesterday jives with what he said when he was hired, is that the Bears aren't going into this thing saying the Bears must win and everybody must lose. They're looking for a situation in which the Bears get what they want and the people of Arlington Heights and the people of the Chicagoland area get what they want. That's going to be tough, but you know, he's done it before. He did it in Minnesota. It's my favorite stadium. It's one of the great stadiums in the NFL. And that's why he got hired, is to push the stadium thing through, to get it done, to get it done quickly. And, you know, that is his top goal above everything else. I asked him, hey, you know, does it matter who the next mayor of Chicago is? You know, can you reengage with them at all? And he said, you know, we're focused on Arlington Heights. You know, this is the direction we're going to go right now. So we'll see how that all goes. I think, you know, we're talking about, you know, he's hesitant to put a timeline on it other than, once you get a shovel in the ground, it's about 3 years from shovel in the ground to stadium completion. But the Bears are months, if not years, from getting that shovel in the ground.
Talking with Patrick Finley from the Sun-Times, covers the Bears out at the owners' meeting in Arizona. Patrick, so back to what Ryan Poles had to say. Found it interesting, his comment on David Montgomery, in where he said, I would just kind of sum it up by saying players do have a choice. It suggests that David Montgomery turned down the Bears' offer and went to Detroit to play for the Lions, and that he will be running with a chip on his shoulder. How did you interpret that, and what do you know?
It absolutely suggests that, doesn't it? No, the Bears made an offer that they thought was competitive with the Lions, that, you know, financially was right there, if not maybe a little bit better. And David Montgomery chose to go to Detroit. I think that was hard for them, because we all know that Ryan Poles thought that Montgomery was a good match for them. He was a really good culture fit. They liked the way that he did everything the right way, in their opinion. But, you know, they thought they made him a good deal, and he decided to go somewhere else. You know, whether you want to read too much into that about the direction of the franchises, I don't know. It'd be maybe the first time in any of our lifetimes that somebody took the long-term bet on the Detroit Lions over even the Chicago Bears. But the Bears thought that they were doing right by him. He decided to go somewhere else. You know, later, you know, Ryan Poles told us, hey, you know, I'm happy for him. We've talked. I congratulated him. I like the guy. You know, it's not like there's some sort of blood feud going on. But the Bears made an offer that they thought was really, really competitive, and he decided to go somewhere else.
Do you think that they're, as long as we're talking about running back, do you think that their first string running back is in this draft, or do you think that they're happy with Deontay Foreman behind Khalil Herbert and the other guy they brought in? What was the other guy's name? Travis Homer.
I think they can live with that rotation. You know, if you look at Foreman, he can be the Montgomery, he can be the hard-running guy, and Herbert can be the home run hitter. That's what they had last year. That seems to make sense. Now, are you asking me whether Bijan Robinson is somebody that excites me? I think Bijan Robinson might be better at what he does than any single person in the draft is at what they do. And, you know, the question then becomes, in the modern NFL, can you use a high draft pick on a running back?
That's right.
Not a lot of people have done it. Uh-huh. And, you know, you look at Saquon Barkley, he's a really good example of that. And, you know, now he's getting franchise tag. And I don't think it's anybody's ideal world to pay Saquon Barkley what they're paying him this year on the tag either. So you've kind of got to embrace the fact, if you pick somebody that high, that, you know, we've got him on a rookie deal, but if he's good, you know, we're going to have to end up paying him a lot of money rather than throwing him away, which is, you know, most good running backs in this league get thrown away after 4 or 5 years, depending on when you draft them. I've watched Robinson. Robinson was from Tucson, Arizona, which is where I used to live. I've got family there. I've heard this kid's name since he was in seventh or eighth grade.
Okay.
And it's been really fun to watch him. The Bears have bigger needs, especially at nine there. They've got to find a way to protect their quarterback. But I could be convinced if you sit there and go, this guy's a superstar.
Interesting.
You got to take a swing. What do you think?
I was getting into that yesterday. I was asking the question of could there be the wild card, and the two names that I came up with in regards to that were Quentin Johnston, the wide receiver, and Bijan Robinson.
Oh, I love Robinson. I love that idea. Bijan, I love the idea, but even though nine is so high, too high probably, at the same time, I have said this, if they drafted him there, I don't know that I would be almost too excited to criticize him.
Yeah, well, like, hey, one thing for both of you guys too, and maybe you guys have seen this, but you know, for whatever it's worth, Pro Football Focus has him rated as a higher prospect than either Christian McCaffrey or Saquon Barkley when they were coming out of college. So that's just something to add, just something to think about to add to that wild card.
What do you think, Finn?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this up, Finley.
It would be, you know what it would be, guys? It would be fun.
Fun. That's a good word.
About, you know what was great about Justin Fields when he was rattling off 60-yard runs?
Fun.
Fun. Yeah. And the Bears have not historically had a lot of fun in their lives. So that would be, I think it would be really intriguing. You could probably talk me into it a little more if you traded down from nine, went to, I don't know, 15 or so and made that decision. but then beggars can't be choosers. At the end of the day, they need tackles. They need guys who can block. And to me, Ryan Poles made it clear that that's going to come from the draft. That's not going to come from some sort of veteran free agent that's out there or somebody who might even come up as a casualty after the draft.
Patrick, we only have a minute left, but I know you weren't talking to Luke Getsy. It was Ryan Poles. But did he mention the two tight end set being more prevalent with Robert Tonyan and Cole Kmet, both being guys that they trust, both being similar type players?
Yeah, he didn't want to compare the two. He didn't want to make it sound as though Tonyan is doing something now that Cole Kmet wasn't. And, you know, I'll tell you this, guys, like, this is what good teams do. And, you know, the Bears are far from being a good team. But having competition, having multiple options at the same position is pretty normal in the NFL. And, you know, I think some people, when Robert Tonyan got signed, sat there and went, oh, my God, what's this going to mean for Cole Kmet? What it's going to mean for Cole Kmet is he doesn't have to be the leading receiver on the football team. I mean, there are plenty of completed passes to go around for two whole tight ends.
Yeah.
And, Tonyan has shown an ability to get open. He's shown an ability to score touchdowns. Kmet did that last year, but for the majority of Kmet's career, it was hard for him to find the end zone. So I think they've got a pretty good match there. They have options. You combine that with the three wide receivers. And Justin Fields has targets this year that he didn't have last year. That's important if you're trying to figure out exactly what you got in that quarterback.
Great stuff, Patrick. Really, thank you for getting up this morning. Appreciate it.
Hey, anytime. Thank you, guys.
See you, Pat. I have relatives in Tucson, too. Bye.
Patrick Finley covers the Bears for the Sun-Times at the NFL owners' meetings in Arizona. Not in Tucson, but close enough in Phoenix or Scottsdale.
Yeah, close maybe. Enough. Yep. But Tucson, that's the place, man. Some Tucson.
We'll keep the football talk going. Mike Florio is next. It's Mullion Haas, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We can't beat beat!
We can't beat beat!
Won't beat beat!
What's that?
Game time!
NFL insider Mike Florio with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mark Grody in for Mully today. We love our time with Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk, and he joins us now in the Circa Resort Casino Hotline. Circa Resort Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Doing great. How are you guys today?
Doing well. Loving all the quarterback controversy, all the talk and consternation. Okay, let's start with Lamar Jackson. Did you know that he requested a trade on March 2nd? Who knew? And I wonder how realistic it is that he gets moved and where that stands. What's the next phase and stage of this story, Mike?
I think that very few people knew, and it's further proof that the Ravens have been very respectful of Lamar. They have not leaked anything. All the leaks have come from Lamar's camp. The Ravens had that information since March 2nd, and it was never mentioned to anyone, anywhere. And Lamar hadn't said anything about it himself until yesterday, curiously timed to tweet his request for a trade, just as John Harbaugh, the coach of the team, was beginning to speak to reporters in Arizona at the league meetings. So I don't know that it goes anywhere. I think this is something that would have made a lot more sense last year, right after Deshaun Watson got traded. If the Ravens aren't going to give Lamar Jackson the contract he wants, then ask to be traded. You have the Falcons ready to go, the Panthers ready to go. Maybe the Dolphins a year ago would have been ready to do something. This year they're not. I think he missed his window. I like that he's finally acting the way an agent should, but I think he's a year too late to go out and make that request, because as of right now, there's no indication of true interest. The Colts are kind of expressing interest, but it doesn't feel real. And the Patriots are another team that's been regarded as a possible destination for Lamar Jackson, but I think for a variety of reasons, that never happens either.
Is there a possibility that if he does get traded, that the team that he would be expecting, the team that he's going to meet his actual demands, Lamar Jackson is, or would he leave just kind of despite Baltimore feeling the lack of loyalty from them?
It's entirely possible, and I think that's an excellent point, that maybe Lamar Jackson would take what some other team would offer if it's close to what the Ravens have offered, just to stick it to the Ravens.
Yeah.
Now, the problem is we don't really know what he wants. We still don't know what he wants. For years, we were under the clear impression he wanted a fully guaranteed contract. Ken Francis, the uncertified NFLPA representative who had been calling teams last week and the door was slammed on that by the league, I'm told that Ken Francis was telling teams he didn't want a fully guaranteed contract, but that may just be semantics. For example, if he wants $200 million fully guaranteed and there's another $75 million that isn't guaranteed, what's the difference? It's that total guarantee at signing that matters. Whether or not the contract is fully guaranteed is a separate issue. But he wants a lot of money. And the problem is, with each passing season, he's lost money that's never coming back. Josh Allen has made $41 million more than Lamar Jackson the past 2 years because Allen did his second contract, Lamar didn't. That $41 million is never coming back. And then there are concerns about marketing deals that Lamar Jackson hasn't been able to close. And when you look at his portfolio of endorsers and you consider what he's accomplished, something's missing. So there's a lot of money that's been left on the table by Lamar Jackson. And the question becomes, how much of that is he trying to get back now? Will he relent on his demands? Will he just do the best deal he can? And ultimately, will anyone even step up and show real interest in him, either to get him to sign an offer sheet or to try to persuade the Ravens to trade him?
So, Mike, you have an item on Pro Football Talk early this morning, late last night, about progress being made between the Packers and the Jets in a potential Aaron Rodgers deal. I loved what Brian Gutekunst had to say, kind of airing the dirty laundry, if you will, but revealing exactly what went on. What makes you think that there's progress being made, and were you surprised that Gutekunst was as candid as he was?
Well, when he came out and said that they're not necessarily going to get a first-round pick, that told me that real pressure has been made, because they've been insisting on the 13th overall pick in trade talks with the Jets in this year's draft. And when they say they're not necessarily going to get a first-round pick, that's what points to this possibility of maybe a second-round pick this year and a pick next year that could go as high as a first-rounder, depending upon how the Jets do this year. But I like the fact that he responded to Rodgers' characterization of how things have come to an end. Rodgers on Pat McAfee's show, where it's a combination safe space, bully pulpit, said that everything was fine at the end of the season. They said they want me back, and then I come out of my darkness retreat and I find out they've been trying to shop me. Gutekunst says, hey, I've been trying to get in touch with this guy to talk to him about how things work moving forward. He never got back to me. At some point, I had to do my job. Very different set of facts. And it reminds me of the old sitcom formula, and I don't know if they still do this. Hell, I don't even know if they still have sitcoms, where act one would be one person's very skewed, warped version of some interaction that happened. Act two is the other person's diametrically opposed, skewed version of what happened. Act three is the truth. So maybe the truth is somewhere in the middle. But at this point, I'm more likely to believe Gutekunst, because when Rodgers said what he said 2 weeks ago to McAfee about the season ends, everything's fine, they're leaving a light on for me, and then something changes, he later contradicted himself, saying he got the sense during the season that the Packers wanted to move on. That cuts against the idea that everything was fine when he walked out the door. So I think he knew this was coming. This is about setting up someone to be the bad guy, and Rodgers would prefer the Packers to be viewed as the bad guy, not him.
Yeah, one thing, too, like outside of all of that, is the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick, and it's some kind of cryptic stuff that I'm seeing on Pro Football Talk about Robert Kraft is not directly answering the question if he's got to make the playoffs next year. Is it, could we be seeing the final season of Bill Belichick by any chance this year?
It really was stunning to me when you consider the question that was asked and the specific answer that Kraft provided. It does put Belichick on the hot seat. He was asked specifically, you've had a losing record two of the last three seasons. If it happens again, could Belichick's job be in jeopardy, or is he here to break Don Shula's all-time wins record and beyond? Kraft paused for a couple of seconds, and he said, look, I'd like him to break Shula's record, but I'm not looking for any of our players to get great stats. We're about winning and doing whatever we can to win. That's what our focus is now. It's important to me that we make the playoffs, and that's what I hope happens next year. That, to me, feels like a playoffs or else mandate for Bill Belichick. And you know, the reality is, hey, yeah, he won six Super Bowls, but winning Super Bowls in the past, and as they get farther and farther into the rearview mirror, that doesn't fill your stadium now. People aren't going to come out now to watch a mediocre team and just say, boy, this feels like the glory days when we were actually competing for championships, even though we aren't now. At some point, the fans want something that lures them there now, and that is an impatient fan base. It's a passionate fan base, but they've been spoiled by success. How do you pivot from success to ordinary? That's what they're working through, and it almost becomes inevitable that you need to press the reset button and start over if the guy that took you to the top of the mountain six times isn't even getting you remotely close to the top in 4 years since they last won a playoff game, the same year they last won a Super Bowl. And I mean, it was 2019, one and done. 2020, no playoffs, losing record. 21, one and done, got blown out by the Bills 47-17. And then last year, losing record. That's just not sustainable. I don't care how many Super Bowls you've won, you don't get a blank check to be the coach for the rest of your life.
Great stuff, Mike. Appreciate the time. Have a great time out there.
Thanks, guys.
See you, man.
Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com. Interesting stuff on Bill Belichick, and
yeah,
equally compelling about
yeah,
Rodgers and Lamar Jackson. He always delivers. You know who else always delivers? Tommy Hotovy.
Yeah, he does.
The Cubs pitching coach. He will join us next. It's Mully and Haw, Mark Grody in for Mully, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.